Kia ora, I'm Ryan Bridge, and this is episode 23 of Bridge Talks Business with Milford. Since 2007, we Kiwis are more than $100 billion richer thanks to KiwiSaver. More than 3 million of us are now members. There's very little argument from either side of politics that this scheme has been a huge success for the country and our retirements. But by international standards, we still have a big game of catch-up ahead of us, and some are calling for change. More on that shortly. First, here's your top five business bits from the past week. Number one, NVIDIA results beat guidance by $2 billion. But despite this, the stock has struggled amid concerns about the Chinese firm DeepSeek and full investor positioning. We're watching Investor Day, March 18, very closely. Number two, a sharp rally in European defence stocks, with EU nations entering a bit of an arms race, boosting defence spending under pressure from Donald Trump. Number three, the Trump-Vance-Zelensky Oval Office showdown has surprised investors, anxious on how it might affect or potentially slow down talks for peace in Ukraine. Number four, consumer confidence in the US is back to its lowest levels since the middle of 2024 amid concerns about Trump's tariffs. And number five, this week the key focus is on US non-farm payrolls and the ISM reports. Payrolls tell us about the labour market. The ISM reports on manufacturing and services, a key barometer of growth for the world's largest economy. If you're one of the 3 million Kiwis who are a KiwiSaver member, then we've got some information for you today, because turns out we're having a birthday. We're all sharing a birthday for this scheme, which, it must be said, on all sides of politics is pretty much universally endorsed now. What changes could be made to the scheme to make it even better, to make sure that it serves us as investors, as potential retirees, even better, but also as a country? Don't forget that this segment is informational only and should not be considered financial advice. Today, I'm really excited to have Murray Harris on the program. Now, he's the head of KiwiSaver at Milford, and he knows a thing or two about what we're going to discuss today. Murray, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So KiwiSaver turning 18 this year on the 1st of July, which basically means it's able to go to the pub.
Yes.
Should we be toasting KiwiSaver? Has it been a success?
Well, yeah, I think it has been. I mean, in terms of increasing the awareness of Kiwis now that we need to provision for our retirement savings while we're working, the fact that we've got 3.3 million people in KiwiSaver in 17 years, it's become a barbecue conversation, right? So maybe I'm going to the wrong type of barbecues, but every time I go to a barbecue, there seems to be a conversation come up. Maybe it's because of my job, but young people are talking about their KiwiSaver because, of course, they can use it to get into their first home, which has been great. So we've got really high participation in the young cohort. 97% of 25 to 34-year-olds are in KiwiSaver, and 95% of 35 to 44-year-olds.
Wow.
That's great. 80% of people in paid employment are contributing. We've got only a small number that are over on a savings suspension, around 5%, and we've amassed $120 billion. So look, from that perspective, participation, awareness, absolutely a success, but I'd score it probably a 7 out of 10 overall.
Okay, interesting. I want to ask you about that. But you're right, just in terms of awareness, and even awareness of things like the stock exchange, you know, business news, it sort of opens your mind to that whole world, doesn't
it? That's right. Well, it's turned every Kiwi in KiwiSaver into an investor. Mm. And so they have to pay attention to, yeah, what markets are doing. They're looking at their balances. They probably shouldn't look at their balances every day because they'll go up and down, and this is a long-term scheme. But yeah, you're right. It's turned people into investors, which is good.
So 7 out of 10, that's a good score, but it's not an excellent score.
Yep.
So what exactly are you seeing that's wrong with or that needs changing?
It was better than most of my scores at school. But anyway, look, I think as I said, participation is good. The main issue we've got is our contribution rates are too low. So that's the real issue. If we look at contributions, about two-thirds of people are only doing the minimum 3%. 90% of employers are only matching to that minimum 3%. Over half of employers are using some form of total remuneration. We might come back to that point. And so our contributions are too low for us to fund the retirements that we dream of and to live the dignified retirement that we all want to live, even with New Zealand Super on top.
Right.
So that's the first issue.
Just on that. So if our rate, it was, you said 2/3 of us are on 3%.
Contributing 3%. That's the minimum. That's the minimum rate.
And then if you look at Australia, their minimum is what, 11.5?
Yes. Going to 12 in July.
And then I think in America with 401k, the average is 4.6.
Yeah.
So we are below.
We're well below. And if you look at, across OECD countries, you've got, our Kiwi saver contributions are about 2% of GDP. We're down there with Costa Rica and Portugal.
Wow.
Australia's 7%, Switzerland's 8%, Iceland, I think, are number one in the OECD at over 10%. Their retirement savings over 10% of GDP. So, yeah, we need to do a better job. We're not going to be funding the retirements that we dream of at 3+3. We've got a different regime here. It's not a compulsory regime. So I think given that it's voluntary, participation's great, but we've got the issue where the setting at 3%, that's what the government has said you need to do. That's the minimum. They say, save 3% of your income. People think, oh, that's all I need to do. And then you've got your employer contribution on top. That's actually taxed. So it's only 2.5% in your hands. So you're only saving 5.5% of your income. And so we're going to be underfunding. People are going to be underfunding their retirement, thinking that at 3%, that's what the government's told me to do. Therefore, that's how much I'll save.
How much? How far underfunded? What will the shortfall be once they get there?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. And look, we've got some numbers around that. I think, look, the average balance right now is $34,000 after 17 years. It's not a lot of money. The New Zealand Society of Actuaries did some research a couple of years ago. They said that a 45-year-old today, their balance in 20 years' time when they're 65 will be $156,000. That's not a lot of money, really, when you think about how much you're going to need to live in retirement. We might come to that one shortly. So there is a big gap. We talk about mind the gap. We need to close that gap. And the only way to do that is to increase people's savings rate. One of the other issues that we've got is that there's really no incentive to do more than that minimum. So the government has said minimum's 3%, but you could contribute 4, 6, 8, or 10. Most people don't, because there's no incentive to do that. As long as you're getting your 521 from the government, there's no incentive to save more. So there's no sort of tax incentives or concessions or anything to encourage people to do more. And then that total remuneration I mentioned before, this is where employers are paying the KiwiSaver contribution as part of the base pay rather than on top. That's not fair. It's not part of the intention of KiwiSaver. And so that should be stopped as well.
Right. So an employer would have to say your total package is XYZ plus KiwiSaver.
Yes. And that was the intention of KiwiSaver. That was how it was supposed to be. In Australia, it's a bit different because the employer makes all the contribution,
yes,
but it's compulsory. It's a different regime there. But for us, the intention was that the employer would be contributing on top and a lot or not.
And we've just kind of snuck it in with the package.
Yes.
So these things you're talking about sound like they might be expensive to fix. I mean, either we are going to have to pay more of what we earn, and, you know, maybe during a cost of living crisis or something like that, that might seem a bit unpalatable, or the government will have to come up with some incentives, and or the employer will have to contribute more as well.
Yep.
What sort of options are there for the incentives that you mentioned?
Yeah, look, and fully aware that these things come at a cost, but sometimes it's the short-term investment for the long-term gain.
True.
And there are lots of flow-on benefits for the economy in general when you've got a good, strong savings system. And look, there's a bit of quid pro quo there for the government as well. I think the things we need to consider to get us closer to a 10 out of 10 is that, well, first and foremost, we need a review of the settings. When KiwiSaver was established in 07, the intention was that every 7 years, those settings would be reviewed to make sure that it's achieving its objectives. This is quite separate from the provider review, which last happened in 2021. The core settings have not been reviewed for a long time, so we're overdue for that. So that would be the first thing we'd say. It's time for government to get to the table and review those settings. Is it achieving what we expect or what the government expect it should be? Then there's the contribution rates. So as we mentioned, we've established 3+3 isn't going to get us, or 3+2.5 isn't going to get us to where we need to be. So do we need to review that minimum setting? And you could very easily move that to, say, 5% as a minimum contribution by the employer, by the employee, and the employer for that matter. But to make it easier for people, you could say, look, you could go there in one jump if you felt you could afford to do that, understanding cost of living crisis and household budgets, or you could do it incrementally, 0.5% each year for the next 4 years.
So, true.
And then, you know, once that money's coming out of your pay, the 0.5% increase, hopefully people don't notice that, but the benefit that they will provide down the track, that extra contribution, that extra money that's been invested and compounded over many, many years will pay back in spades. And then, you know, employer contributions, yes, we could review those as well. That total remuneration, that should be done away with. And then perhaps some other tax incentives that the government could consider, like in Australia. So in Australia, your super contributions come out of your gross pay before tax, whereas here, our KiwiSaver contributions come out of our after-tax pay. That would make a big difference.
Yeah.
Your contributions in Australia go into a fund and they're taxed at 15% while invested. Here, we've got the PIE tax regime, so we do benefit from an advantage in tax, but it's 28% for most people.
That's right.
So there could be some quid pro quo there, which, yeah, sure, it's a small cost to the government in the short term, but the benefits down the track to the wider economy would far exceed the short-term cost.
And, you know, you talk about the flow-on effects. It's obviously the public markets, the stock exchange, but also potentially they're looking at making some changes so that private assets, we could get our hands on more private assets through our KiwiSaver funds,
yeah,
which is great for New Zealand Inc.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look, a strong savings system means that there's more capital in the country and in the economy to be invested. Now, you know, a lot of KiwiSaver money at the moment's going offshore, most of it actually. We do need more of it invested in the New Zealand market. So there has been the discussion around private markets, and I know you spoke to Tom on this program recently about that and our views on that. More money coming from the savings system into the New Zealand share market makes it a more vibrant market, money going to great New Zealand businesses so that they can invest and employ more people, and ultimately they pay more taxes. And then your private equity infrastructure, there's just a lot more opportunity. And again, we look at Australia. The superannuation saving system in Australia, it's worth $4.2 trillion today.
Wow.
It's forecast to be $9.5 trillion by 2050. Now, you go to Australia, what do you see? Lots of great motorways, bridges, tunnels, roads,
trains.
Some of them are toll roads, trains, public transport systems. Superannuation money has built a lot of that infrastructure.
And so you said they're heading towards what?
They're at $4.2 trillion now, $9.5 trillion by 2050.
Wow. And we're at what? Just over $100
billion. $120 billion. So we've got a long way to go.
Long way to go. How much do we need once we do come to retirement age? Obviously, I'm a lot longer off that than you are. How much do we need once we get there? What's the advice?
Yeah, well, look, it's a personal question. You need to decide how much you want, what type of retirement you want to live. Do you want a no-frills basic retirement where you've just got the basics covered? For some people, New Zealand Super might actually be enough for them to live off. Or do you want the type of retirement where you've got a few choices? And, you know, I know for me personally, and I'm sure for you, we work hard. When we retire, we want to do all the things we dream about doing while we're working. Right. So what is that? More travel.
Yeah.
More time with friends and family. Socializing.
Restaurants.
Holidays. Play more sport. Might be more golf or bowls or tennis or whatever, or involvement in the community. They are the things you want to do.
All right. All this is sounding quite expensive. So how much will it cost?
Well, Massey University do research every year around what it actually is costing for New Zealanders to live in retirement. And they've just released the most recent update to that. What that says is for a couple living a no-frills retirement, so bare basics, in a metropolitan city like Auckland, are spending about $910 per week just to live.
Wow.
A couple in a metropolitan city living a choices retirement, it's costing them about $1,740 a week. Now, New Zealand Super will pay a couple $799 a week, right? So there's a big gap, and that's where I say mind the gap. That's the gap we need to close. How do you close that gap? Well, you've got to fund that with your own private savings.
Not on 3%.
And so this is why we're saying that the time is right to have that conversation. In terms of a lump sum, if you're a couple living in the provinces, you about $446,000, they say, is what you need as a lump sum at age 65 to survive. But if you're a couple living in a metropolitan city and you want a choices lifestyle, it's about $1.1 million. Now, we don't want to scare people and make it sound scarier than I'm never going to get there. I'm never going to save that much. It's not really about what the final number is. It's about what you can do along the way, contribute, save, and then you add to that with some other savings along the way or other funds that you might have. But 3% plus 2.5% from your employer after tax is not going to get, it's not going to close that gap. It's not going to get us to where we need to be.
Fascinating discussion, Murray. Thank you very much for being with me.
Thank you. Been a pleasure.
That was Murray Harris. He's the head of KiwiSaver at Milford. A really interesting discussion because it's probably not something that we all want to do, to pay more towards our retirement, or for our employers to do, to pay a little bit more towards our retirement as well. But in the long run, man, it's worth it, isn't it? And if you can afford to do it, if you find the country in the right place at the right time to be able to do something like that, then the benefits are really just exponential. So a really interesting discussion today. And don't forget, you can share this podcast with your friends or other investors. You can follow us on all of your social media channels and wherever you listen to your podcasts. We'll see you next week.